a fantastic Auburn breakdown from maybe not the most expected source.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. I think this was somewhat of an unlikely source, maybe to some people. Kevin Skarbinski did a whole show about essentially why not Auburn? Why not Auburn? And it's funny the way he started it off, and we're going to play a couple of clips. He started it off talking about everybody's always asking the question, who's going to be the next Indiana? And then he's like, in reality, Auburn's the team that's usually the one that does the most unexpected things. You can point to a number of seasons where Auburn was the next Indiana already. So maybe it's not who's going to be the next Indiana, but who's going to be the next Auburn, and could it be Auburn? We're going to look at it from three different angles, how close Auburn was to potentially being Indiana last year. A different type quarterback comp that I really like, and then talking real culture change. Let's jump into it right now. Let's play the first clip. This is about how close Auburn actually was to being the Indiana, or like a traditional Auburn coming out of nowhere team last year.
Because what has been the problem with Auburn football in the last 5 years? It's been offense. Been the inability to score points. It's been the inability to win close games because they couldn't score enough points. This is an amazing stat when you look back to last year. And this is why Hugh Freeze is no longer the coach and Alex Golish is. Auburn played 6 games last year decided by 7 points or less. In those 6 games, Auburn went 0-6. Contrast that with 2013 Auburn. Gus Malzahn's first year. They played 7 games that year, decided by 8 points or less, all one-score games, and they went 6-1 in those tight games, those games where one play could make the difference, one tipped pass could make the difference, one field goal that came up short, and I guess he can run it back, can make the difference. That's what should give you optimism if you're an Auburn fan, that this year could be different.
So is, when you look at that, which is still crazy to even think about, I know we all know those numbers. I don't think we knew or were able to compare it to 2013 numbers and how close those games were. What situation was worse taking over? Gus taking over in 2013 or Alex Golish taking over in 2026, I feel like the Gus situation was a lot tougher. You did have a good stable of offensive line, but you had no quarterback, and the best you could get, which turned out to be a huge blessing, was a kid that was a JUCO quarterback. But you were just able to. The offense was spectacular. The rushing game was phenomenal, but you were just able to win those close games. He goes on to say a little bit later that not only, was Auburn 0-6 in those particular one-score games, but Auburn also led Oklahoma, led Missouri, and led Vanderbilt in the fourth quarter. And in those other losses, they had a chance in the fourth quarter to go tie or go take the lead and just couldn't get it done. So when we're talking about this team making the next step, we always have these huge mountains that we feel like this team has to climb to get back into the conversation. Oh, man, the offensive line's got to be exponentially better. Does it have to be exponentially better? Or maybe it's, hey, maybe we just need that one extra play. Can they be good enough? Can they be disciplined enough to not have that that pre-snap penalty in a crucial time that kills a drive? Can they block get that one extra block to make that one extra play when you're going down the field to either tie or take the lead? Is it really that big of a mountain to climb? Is it really that big of an overhaul? I think that's the biggest conversation, or that's the biggest thing that maybe we're missing when we're talking about the potential of Auburn, you know, getting over the hump and getting things headed back in the right direction. Is it just a complete talent issue? Like you have to go overhaul rooms, overhaul this, overhaul that. Is it really that? Or is it just Auburn's got to figure out how to win games again? Close games. Auburn's got to figure out how to make that one extra play. Auburn's got to figure out how to get that one extra stop. Is it really that far off? Is it really like that that far out of Auburn's grasp? I think that's the biggest thing that Skarbinski is trying to say here. Now, I'm not saying that those things are easy. I'm not saying that it's just all of a sudden you can just go in and flip a switch and, okay, now Auburn's winning close games again. But it's just showing you how razor thin it actually is for Auburn to be in a completely different conversation after this season. Auburn's going to be in some close games. Auburn's probably not going to blow out a lot of teams, that particularly SEC teams. You got 9 of them this year. Probably not going to have a bunch of, you know, we're partying in the fourth quarter and celebrating. It's going to be tight. Is it Auburn's got to have 150 to 200 more yards a game and it's just got to score a bunch more points? Yeah, like those things will kind of take care of themselves. Or is it just, hey, when we get in those tight situations, we don't just like fumble, no pun intended. We don't choke. They just go try to figure out ways to win. That was what, I mean, you go back and look at that 2013 season. Think about that Mississippi State game. That wasn't a great game, but Auburn goes down the field and wins. Like, you don't have to have the most statistically beautiful games to come out with a victory. I like that point. He makes some other really good comps, and when he's talking about Nick Marshall versus Byron Brown, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about culture change in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to buyauburn.com. Be who you say you are. Do business with Auburn people everywhere. If you're an Auburn business owner, you can list your business for less than $1 a day. Got a new application yesterday. We're growing every single week. And if you're going to be you need to make a purchase or looking for a service, start with an Auburn person, man. And the only way you can guarantee that 100% is by going to buyauburn.com. There's nobody else. There's nothing else quite like this, and it's a great way for us Auburn folks to work together. Show some love at buyauburn.com. And along those same lines, if you need a good real estate agent in the Auburn-Opelika area, hit me up, kylerush@kw.com. Doesn't matter if you want to buy, build, sell, or just invest in rental properties, I'm your guy. Hit me up. Would love to help. We can meet anytime. Had people call me or text me or email me on a Sunday. Hey, I'm flying in on Monday. I want to look at some rental properties. We can do it. We'll be back right after this. I'm going to play this clip. I thought this was really good because everybody always compares Byron Brown. What's the quarterback comparison there? Cam Newton. It's always Cam Newton. You know, big guy that can run and throw. You always go to Cam Newton. But think about this from a Nick Marshall perspective?
Byron Brown has Nick Marshall type talent. He's been a better thrower than Nick Marshall was that first year as the Auburn starter. Nick got much better the next year and really, really was able to fling it around in 2014. What did he throw for 456 against Alabama in the 2014 Iron Bowl? Something like that. Byron Brown is more proven than Nick Marshall was when he got to Auburn in 2013. Byron Brown has 2,000-3,000-yard passing seasons in the last 3 years. He ran for 1,000 yards last year, was one of the top, led the country in total offense per game, just ahead of Diego Pavia from Vanderbilt. Remember how much trouble Diego Pavia gave the Auburn defense last year, the year before at Vanderbilt, before that at New Mexico State? Imagine having a weapon like that on your side. And again, we're talking about best case scenario. We're not making a prediction.
I think we miss the boat sometimes when we're talking about Byron Brown and we have him in the same conversation of Cam Newton. He doesn't have to be a Cam Newton. He doesn't have to be a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback like to for Auburn to be successful. And when you're talking about a lot of the conversations around can the AAC competition translate to the SEC, well, I mean, my God, how did the Kansas City Junior College football translate to the SEC? It's pretty damn good when you're talking about Nick Marshall. Talking about having a weapon at quarterback this year that's way more proven than even Nick Marshall was coming in to the SEC. Yeah, we know about the 3,000-yard passing. We know about the 1,000-yard rushing. We're not necessarily talking about, you know, comparing them from a statistical standpoint. We're just talking about the impact that type of quarterback can make and can change to when you have these razor thin margins. Insert Nick Marshall, you get it done. You have these razor thin margins. Hopefully, insert Byron Brown and you get things done. He can throw it, he can run it, he can execute the play call that's designed. And he can improvise when need be. Byron enters Auburn exponentially more experienced and more proven than Nick Marshall did. Nick Marshall was a complete unknown commodity in 2013, and Brown's already produced at an insanely high level in this system. So maybe it's not, when you're talking about comparison, so maybe it's not, hey, can Byron Brown be Nick Marshall? Maybe it's just, what does Auburn look like if Byron Brown, the more proven commodity, can give some type of Nick Marshall-level impact on this offense? And then you're like, okay, now those six games of one score, how do those things play out? I think that's the question. That's the more interesting conversation. Really, really good stuff. And then the last thing is he talks about his culture. I know everybody talks about culture. It's sort of a buzzword. There's been, you know, from an Alabama writer standpoint, I don't want to say there's been a back and forth. There's been some. There's one guy on an island, and then even guys, I think, that are traditionally more, you would call more pro Alabama, are even saying like this is a good deal. This whole Camp Golish thing. Let's play this clip and break it down.
You've got a new coach with a new attitude, a new approach. Camp Golish has been all the rage. And how about the latest revelation out of Camp Golish that one of the pieces of discipline they employ during practice if a player makes a mistake is they do push-ups. And Golish has been dropping down and giving himself 20 on those occasions. And I love the explanation that everybody has to take accountability when things go wrong. If a wide receiver drops a ball, yeah, it's on him. He dropped the ball. But maybe the quarterback didn't put the ball in the right spot. Maybe the coach didn't coach up the wide receiver well enough. Maybe the position coach didn't do his job. Maybe the head coach called the wrong play. So they are in it together. They are taking accountability when things go wrong. And if that holds, if Golish sticks to that this season and throughout his tenure on the Plains, they will be far down the path from where they were with Hugh Freeze, who loved to assign blame and shirk responsibility when things went wrong.
Ouch on that last part, but he nailed it. You know, culture, I think everybody has a different definition of culture, but I think Skarbinski kind of nailed it right there. It's simply being able to take accountability and holding everybody responsible, playing for the guy beside you. It doesn't really have to go much further than that, because that creates a team instead of a bunch of individuals. And people will emulate, teams will emulate the head coach, where it comes from the top. They will follow that lead. And it felt like Hugh Freeze had himself on an island and it was everybody else's fault. So what did our offense look like? It looked like everybody was an individual on an island. There was no team aspect of it because they were just emulating their leadership. You got, you know, the camp, you got the, you know, obviously the strong verbiage, you got Golish being a part of every, it seems like every single position group on the field. He's not just like standing in the middle of the field overseeing, like he's right there in the mix with the tight ends, the wide receivers. Hey, don't waste one of my reps. Goes over to the defense, like he's all over the place. I love this. The message is basically, if something goes wrong, we're going to figure out why we failed, not why you failed. And you could be the player, the coach. What, instead of identifying someone immediately to blame, it's us. Bro, people will fight for you. People will die for you if they feel like you got their back. And again, the whole theme of this is Auburn really that far away from potentially having an Auburn surprise season? And if they're not that far away, what are the things that change those outcomes? This is one of them. When you get into those fourth quarter games again and, you know, you got a lead, or you're one score away from tying or taking the lead, does this new approach potentially translate into handling adversity better? Finishing. I love it. I love the way he began the show when he talked about, again, everybody's always looking for the Indiana. Well, dang it, that's usually Auburn. When you look at when Auburn pops, or when you look at a lot of Auburn's successful seasons, they popped when nobody else expected it. Very similar to Indiana last year, even though Indiana did have a good season prior. I don't think anybody expected, you know, undefeated at this age of college football and you know, in a national title. And I'm not necessarily saying that's what Auburn could be this year. Skarbinski did say, hey, I don't think Auburn's really a team. People say ceiling is 7-5, ceiling's 8-4. It's like, I don't think that's really fair, because Auburn's shown that sometimes there really isn't a ceiling. And I think Auburn's closer than you think. You compare it to that 2013 situation, I think Auburn's in a better situation in 2026 than they were in 2013. It's just simply, can these things that we're talking about, can they equate to closing that gap on game day, flipping that switch, flipping that narrative, and finishing? That's what remains to be seen. But it's hard not to feel more confident. I know some people think – I think Skarbinski's always been one of the more fair Alabama, state of Alabama sports writers. I know some Auburn fans think he's, you know, tough on Auburn, but dang it, Auburn's earned it. Auburn's earned writers being tough on them the last 5 years. Good stuff. Let me know what you think. I'm with Skarbinski. I don't think Auburn's as far away from not just a winning season, but being having something special. I don't think they're quite as far away as we think they are. Let me know what you think. Let's talk again soon. We'll be live again at 2 o'clock with a Q&A after practice. Maybe we'll get another cool surprise. But regardless, we'll have some good notes to talk about. Y'all have a great day. We'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.